Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So yesterday we discussed the first five verses, little review, and the first five verses of chapter 29. This morning we'll cover 6, 7, and 8. In the beginning part of 29, Devahuti asked a series of questions. And who can remember what the first question was? Anybody can remember? I know that you can remember.
That was my best
friend. Oh, you weren't there. Okay.
I wanted to know about devotional service.
Okay. Because that's what this morning's verse is. He's answering this first question. Devahuti inquired, "My dear Lord, you have already very scientifically described the symptoms of the total material nature and the characteristics of the spirit according to the Sankhya system of philosophy. Now I shall request you to explain the path of devotional service, which is the ultimate end of all philosophical systems." And then she asks other questions. The process of birth and death, the entanglement of the living entities in fruitive activities when they're not properly engaged in devotional service. And if you recall, the purpose of behind asking that question is to create some impetus for devotional service, because I don't want to be implicated in the entanglement, the undesirable features of material existence. And then the third question was, she asked about time, eternal, the influence of eternal time upon living entities, so that they engage, by that inspiration, they engage in pious primitive activities. These are very broad topics, and they're going to they'll be responded to. And then she ended with some appreciation of Kapila Dev, her son, as the personality of Godhead, who is like the sun dispels darkness. So he can dispel the darkness of illusion, darkness of material existence, and she's inviting that sun-like presence of his instructions, so her material existence can be dissolved. So we're beginning now with text 6. This is Kapila Dev's reply. If you remember from yesterday, the way that this entire section is structured is questions or summary. More commonly, it's like one question rather than these three questions. And then the reply, the first verse of the reply, is a summary reply that's then detailed in subsequent verses. It's expanded. The explanation is expanded. So in his reply, Kapila Dev says, devotional service is known or displayed differently according to different individuals, and specifically according to the modes of nature influencing those individuals. Sri Maitreya said, Krishna first is text 6, is this is canto 3, going back to the beginning parts of Canto 3, there's this meeting between Vidura, who's while he's on pilgrimage, and Maitreya. So Maitreya is answering Vidura's questions. So it touches back on that point. Maitreya says to Vidura, "O best among the Kurus, the great sage Kapila, moved by great compassion and pleased by the words of his glorious mother, spoke as follows." In her question, she was asking explicitly, not only for my interest, but for the interest of all living entities. So she's compassionate, and he's compassionate towards her because of her, the nature of her compassion towards others. It just works like that. Prabhupada writes in the purport, "Since he, the Supreme Lord, is perpetually compassionate towards his confidential servitors, if some of his devotees also become compassionate towards them, the conditioned souls, the Supreme Lord is very pleased with the devotees." He wants the favor of the Lord. The Sankirtan process, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are engaged in his Sankirtan movement, and by so doing, it's good for us and good for others. It is simultaneously beneficial for us because when we try, we may not feel ourselves very qualified. In fact, we're not so qualified. But if we try, then the favor of the Supreme Lord comes to the devotee who tries. So that's good for us. The favor of the Supreme Lord goes to you. And that whatever the little effort that we can manage to extend message of devotion, message of Bhagavad Gita, whatever the form of that may be, maybe just go in book distribution or speak something somewhere or something, share Krishna consciousness with others in an appropriate manner, beneficial for others, simultaneously beneficial for ourselves. It's purification all around. Auspiciousness is created. Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtana. Text 7. Lord Kapila, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, replied, "O noble lady, there are multifarious paths of devotional service in terms of the different qualities of the executor, the devotee." So there's modes of nature, and modes of nature are influencing the soul. That soul who's influenced by the modes of nature may take up devotional service. And so that devotional service is pure. Same point is going to come later in very explicit language, so it's important because it's being presented twice. Devotional service is pure, but our consciousness may not be. So devotional service doesn't become contaminated, but our display of devotional service may be less than transparent. Just take, you know, there's a light fixture, and inside the glass or plastic surrounding the light bulb, there's light. Let's just say, for simplicity's sake, the light is, you know, white and bright. But supposing the plastic was tinted green or yellow or blue or red or whatever, and then the light that's coming through that tinted globe surrounding it will be corresponding to the tint. That's easy. Consciousness, similarly, is pure. Devotional service is of the same nature as Krishna, pure. However, the spirit soul may be under the influence of the modes of nature, and so devotional service will come out. In the Sanskrit, it's swabhava guna margena. We know about this term svabhava from Bhagavad Gita. Brahma karma svabhavajam, kshatriya karma svabhavajam, vaishya karma svabhavajam, etc. In that case, svabhava, sva means one's own, and bhava, your nature. So we have a conditioned nature conditioned by the modes. And according to the conditioning of the mode of goodness, activities, karma, kshatriya is brahmana, karma, svabhava, jam. Ja means born. Born of the our particular svabhava, we do something. So behaviors or actions arise from svabhava. That's clear, right? And if you want to change your actions, you have to look at the modes of nature that you're influenced by. And the modes of nature can be modified. Not like, oh, I've got this particular mode of nature, that's it. I'm always going to be an angry person, or lusty person, or greedy person, or something like that. I'm always going to be like that. Boo-hoo. Not like that. Our nature, specifically in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, Krishna instructs Arjuna of how one's nature can be changed. It's a whole system. I'm not going to lay out the system right now. But there are things that one can do. There's actions that we can take, steps toward following Krishna's instructions that we can do that can change our nature. We're not, stuck because, at this moment we have this particular nature. Nature can change. Nature changes by association. Like if you're cold, you stand near a fire, you get warm. So it's not that the nature to be cold, it's due to association with cold air, you feel cold. You associate with warm air, you feel warm. So nature can change through association. And in that association, there's something, without all the details, there are things that are helpful to receive the kind of, let's say, good association that improves one's good quality and character. That's what education is. The student goes to study with the brahmana because the brahmana is of the quality of goodness. At least, should be, would be, supposed to be, in the quality of goodness. And in that quality of goodness, a qualified brahmana understands the particular nature of the student, and they do two things. This is described in Bhishma Dev's instructions to Maharaj Yudhisthira in Canto 1, Chapter 9. Really, it's really simple. All students are given, in one sense, same training, and each student is given specific training. The general training is character building. So, character building means values to live by, yamas and niyamas. Speak the truth. Don't steal. The do's and the don'ts. Respect superiors. And the modern culture is challenge authority. The Western culture, challenge authority. So, culture is a foundation, and then the teacher sees this student has such and such propensity. That student has a different propensity. And a qualified brahmana knows how to train a student in according to their propensity. And they also know their limitation, and they may send them to someone who is very, very special in such and such field of study. That's a liberal brahmana and a qualified brahmana. they're interested in the well-being of the other. They're not interested in their own pride and prestige and reputation. They're interested in the well-being of others. Bhakti, similarly, it has its quality that it's simple. Bhakti, or bhakti lata bija, the seed of bhakti, is very simply expressed in Prabhupada's writings. It's the desire to serve Krishna. And according to our nature, we desire to serve Krishna with this. So if we don't have Krishna in the picture, we desire to dance, or we desire to sing, or we desire to do math, or we desire to something. We desire to cook. We desire to worship the deity. We desire something. And with devotion is connect that desire to do something, your psychophysical nature, with do this for Krishna. So bhakti is to do it for Krishna. Spirit. And that spirit may be tainted by the modes, like, you know, the covering of the light fixture. And you can change the green one to a blue one, or like something. You can, the modes can change. So that's what's being said here in this verse. Kapila Devi is responding, Devahuti, you've asked about devotional service. Well, devotional service is variegated, and depending upon the different qualities of the executor. And here specifically, it's swabhava, guna, margena. Margena, Prabhupada has put in terms of behavior. Marga means path. So someone will follow this path of bhakti or that path. There are the varieties of bhakti according to swabhava guna. Swabhava, nature, guna, qualities. In Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, the sentence is the same, but in the commentary he speaks of intention of the executor. I'll read what he writes. Bhanuswami's translation. Bhakti appears, is the translation of the verse, text 7. Bhakti appears in many forms by particular actions. So actions are the expressions of the desire to serve the Lord in a person according to his intentions. The intentions of men are classed by the actions of the gunas arising from one's nature. So that's not, they're not in contradiction with what Prabhupada has written and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has written. It's just there's a specific differentiation that he's making. And it comes out in the next verse. The next verse is giving the example of the lower of the three modes. It's tama, ignorance. So one who is influenced by tama may have different intentions. There are different types of tama persons or influences of tama. And that's lower, intermediate, and higher. We'll go there in a moment. I just want to make a point that intention is important. We're all influenced. We have a body, and the body is influenced by the modes of nature. There's no exception. We all have a body, and the body is influenced by the modes of nature. So according to the influence of the modes of nature, there are actions. Now, the detail here by Vishwanath is, okay, there's three modes of nature, which in the spectrum of each of the three modes, behind that mode, there's a particular intention, and that selects which part in that spectrum of the modes of nature am I going to perform actions. Is it clear? Okay. Let's go to, we'll come back, I hope I remember, if I forget, remind me. We'll come back to Vishwanath, I'll say it now. Vishwanath, in his commentary, says in chapter 25, this is chapter 29, so remember from the review yesterday, 25, chapter 25 speaks of pure devotional service. Kapiladeva has already described pure devotional service. Devahuti is asking about devotional service in 29. So, it's appropriate, so he makes the appropriate reference to what devotional service is that's not mixed. And we know from Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, what does he say? Bhakti is unmixed. Yes. Anyabhi lashita shunyam yanakarma dinavritam. It's not mixed. Mixed with what? Mixed with two main things. Passion and ignorance. You know, knowledge acquired by speculative efforts or striving for knowledge like that, and knowledge or happiness through fruitive activities. Jnana and karma. Bhakti is not mixed with that. Now, it can be mixed. But, you know, in its natural state, it's unmixed. You know that verse from chapter 25, where it's a very famous verse, 25:25, you know, that the characteristics of pure devotional service, one who attains these characteristics, then devotional service begins. You know what I'm referring to? Okay, this is Satam Prasangan Mamavirya Sambhido Bhavanti Ritkaran Rasayanakta. Very famous verse. You can look it up later. 325:25. It's describing pure devotional service. The verse reads, translation, in the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Lord is very pleasant and satisfying to the ear and the heart. Bhavanti rit karna rasayana katha. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and therefore he is freed, and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. Ooh, that means we're not doing devotional service yet. That's not what it means. It means that same as what Rupa Goswami is teaching, and that is pure devotional service is unmixed. So there's a stage of devotional service that's mixed. It's like the classic example is the green mango and the ripe mango. Which one is a mango? Answer, they're both mangoes. One's green, the other's ripe. And the taste is different. A green mango and a ripe mango. Some people like the green ones, some people like the ripe ones, some people like both of them. But it's still a mango. So, sadhana bhakti is what we're doing. That's not shuddha bhakti yet. Or prema bhakti. And in between is bhava bhakti, sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti. And then devotional service begins means that matured stage, the ripe mango stage. Until then, we're practicing, we're doing sadhana bhakti. We're making the heart clean, fit for receiving Krishna in loving ways. from within the heart, but that's because that's where the seat of our desire to be in loving service to Krishna is. It's within the heart. It's of the soul directly. So in this same chapter, I just read verse 25 from chapter 25. In verse 32, Vishwanath quotes verse 32 where he says, Kapila has already described unmixed devotional service. Here's the translation. Bhakti. This is text 32 from that chapter 25. Bhakti to the Supreme Lord without material desires. That's this intention thing. Composed of actions of the senses to reveal sense objects related to the Lord. Rishikesha Sevanam. And then there's objects. When you're using your senses in the service of the master of the senses, there's some object. You know, there's your pen and your notepad, or your redanga and your hands, and the cooking pot and the stove. There's objects that you use, engage your senses in service to the master of the senses. When bhakti is operative. And which conform to Guru's instructions with mind dedicated exclusively to the Lord. Krishna says, engage in your prescribed duty and always think of me. Because really the purpose of the prescribed duty is, and any activity in devotional service is remembering Krishna. Having the mind fixed on Krishna. That's where we're headed. Absorption and thought of Krishna. In love. And which includes actions on the spontaneous level is superior to liberation, saying that bhakti is executed from the liberated platform. Have you heard that before? Bhakti is executed from the liberated platform, even what we're doing, you know, the sadhana thing. Does anybody know that verse from Bhagavad Gita? Yes, Brahmabhuta, Prasanatma, Nasavuchati, Nakamkati, Samasarveshabhuteshu, Mad Bhaktim, Lavate, Param. Devotional service begins from that Brahmabhuta position. Now, we're very fortunate because we have been engaged, given the opportunity to engage in devotional service to Krishna. We just, you know, got in the elevator, went to the top floor. And walk out. You know, we're not qualified. But because we're engaged in devotional service, we're brought to the liberated platform, and from there, you know, further purification. So we have to be very careful. This is a platform of purity, and we're not yet pure. It's obvious, but we shouldn't take it for granted. Oh, devotional service, sorry, well. It's something. With proper regard, we should view it, the opportunity to engage in service to Krishna. We don't have any qualification. We're monsters. What's our opportunity? What's our qualification? It says we're recipients of mercy. So, back to Vishwanath's commentary on this verse text. 7. Kapila now begins to speak about bhakti, which is contaminated by the gunas. Because in that previous verse, he said bhakti has no desires, no material desires. Now is bhakti contaminated by the gunas. Bhakti yoga of one nature is known to have many forms with particular methods according to the intention of the particular person. Now in the Sanskrit is bhavini. Bhavini. So it's, there's swabhava and there's bhavini. There's two terms. there's the modes of nature that we're influenced by, and then there's the particular intention within that particular mode. You'll see from the next, the example is given in the next verse, so it'll become clear, I hope. That intention becomes classified by different actions of the gunas arising from one's nature. Again, we'll see the example in the next verse. Though bhakti, in its essential nature, is beyond the gunas, right? Bhakti is pure. It becomes called tamasic bhakti, for example, when it is contaminated by one's natural gunas, such as tamas. Okay, so that's text 7. 6 was Kardamuni, Maitreya, saying, oh, it's a nice question. I appreciate your compassion. And so he was appreciating her compassion, and so he spoke. So now Kapila is speaking. Bhakti needs to be regarded according to the intention behind the particular mode of nature that one takes up bhakti. So it has different divisions. Let's do a little math question. We have two boys in the back. One is already gone. So, how many processes of devotional service? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandhanam. Are you familiar with that? How many? There's 9 processes of bhakti. And there's how many modes of nature? I'm asking the boys in the back. How many modes of nature? What is 3 times 9? 27. And so if you take each of those 3 modes and say there's a lower, there's an upper, middle, and there's an upper, that means 3, right? So each of the modes times another 3. What's 3 times 27? Counting on his fingers. 3 times 27. 81. So Prabhupada writes in his purport, there's 81 varieties of devotional service. Of course, there's subcategories of those too. So it's diverse. 3 times 3 is 9, 3 times 9 is 80, is 27, 3 times 27 is 81. So here's text 8. It gives an example of what text 7 says. The intention is behind the mode of nature that brings actions in devotional service. Devotional service executed by a person who is envious. Is it possible that a person who is envious can begin the process of devotional service? Yes. Proud, yes. Violent, maybe. Angry, I've seen angry devotees before. And who is a separatist is considered to be in the mode of darkness. Prabhupada's purport. It has already been stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, that the highest, most glorious religion is the attainment of causeless, unmotivated devotional service. In pure devotional service, the only motive should be to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is not actually a motive, meaning a material motive. That is the pure condition of the living entity. In the conditioned stage, when one engages in devotional service, he should follow the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master in full surrender. The spiritual master is the manifest head, representative of the Supreme Lord, because he receives and presents the instructions of the Lord as they are, by the cyclic succession. As it is described in Bhagavad Gita, that the teachings therein should be received by disciplic succession. Otherwise, there is adulteration. You're like repeating it four times here. To act under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master with the motive to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pure devotional service. But if one has a motive for personal sense gratification, his devotional service is manifested differently. Such a man may be violent, proud, envious, and angry, and his interests are separate from the Lord's. That's what this, without a separatist mentality, or with the separatist mentality. So having an interest, I want to engage in this devotional service, and I have an interest separate from the Lord's interest in engaging in that devotional service, according to the modes of nature, and according to the particular intention within that mode of nature. Paragraph. One who approaches the Supreme Lord to render devotional service, but who is proud of his personality, envious of others, or vengeful, is in the mode of anger. He thinks that he is the best devotee. Devotional service executed in this way is not pure. It is mixed and is of the lowest grade. Tamasa. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur advises that a Vaishnava who is not of good character should be avoided. Interesting instruction here. A Vaishnava is one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the ultimate goal of life. But if one is not pure and still has motives, then he is not a Vaishnava in the first order of good character. One may offer his respects to such a Vaishnava because he has accepted the Supreme Lord as the ultimate goal of life. But one should not keep company with a Vaishnava who is in the mode of ignorance. We're almost done. Here's Vishwanath's explanation, which I really like. It's a detail that Prabhupada hasn't included. Prabhupada chose to speak on subjects to train his disciples, his followers, his audience, in coming to the stage of pure devotional service. Here's different acharya, Vishwanath. He writes, for the translation for text 8, the angry person devoid of compassion, who worships me with intentions of violence, pride, and hatred, is tamasic in his bhakti. Listen, it's this detailed. First, tamasic bhakti is described. One should not say that bhakti becomes tamasic. Because bhakti is pure. Rather, the particular person in question is tamasic. He is angry. Samrambhi. He does not see happiness and distress equally in himself and others. Vinadrik. In other words, he is without compassion. With a goal of violence, pride, and hatred, the angry person, with no compassion, who performs bhakti, to me, is tamasic. Then he goes in detail. He is of three types. There are three types clearly described in the Brihadnaradiya Purana. Interesting. Oh, king. So here's the lower range of intention amongst tamasic persons who engage in bhakti, and then medium, and then he who worships with faith with the goal to destroy another person has tamasic bhakti of low grade. He who, like a prostitute, worships his master Narayan, Lord of the universe, with cheating mentality his tamasic bhakti is of medium grade. That's the intention behind the mood. He who worships the Lord in a competitive mood after seeing the worship of the devatas as tamasic bhakti, in the highest type. And this conclusion, one should see the same work for rajasic and sattvic bhakti of three types. So tamasic, lower, intermediate, higher. So there's the tamas. There's three varieties of those times the nine devotional processes. That's 27. And 3 times 27 is 81. And then you can further divide. It's something like there are several places in Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Bhagavatam where devotional service is divided into lower, intermediate, and upper. So Kanishtha Adhikari, Majjhima Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. Anyone not familiar with that? So lower, intermediate, and upper. And the upper is Uttama. The intermediate is Madhyama. And the lower is beginning stage. And so I don't have so much experience with this, but in the Gaudiya Math, probably following Bhaktisiddhanta, they have Kanishtha, Kanishtha, Madhava Kanishtha, Uttama Kanishtha. Kanishtha, Madhyama, 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 Uttama, Madhyama. Kanishtha, Uttama, Madhyama, Uttama, and Uttama, Uttama. Similar. And it makes sense. It's just these are not buckets or rigid categories or either in this one or that one. It's to help us analyze things, systems to help us understand where on the spectrum of devotional service one is, and then so we're hearing from these verses from Kapila, according to the modes, bhakti may be differentiated, and then further, according to the intention behind that particular mode, bhakti can be differentiated. The bhakta can be differentiated. Well, we shouldn't make the mistake we're hearing that bhakti is impure. So let's just do a quick summary. The first question in this chapter 29, Devahuti is asked, Kapila Dev, now that I've understood all this process of knowledge, the philosophical system of Samkhya, which indicates categories of matter, categories of divisions of spirit, and the process of meditation upon the Supreme Spirit that leads to bhakti, can you describe the characteristics of bhakti? So he's chosen to respond by saying, bhakti according to the modes of the person. And he started with tamasic, with anger, pride, envy, and devoid of compassion. All of them devoid of compassion. That devoid of compassion characteristic, we'll say it negatively, then say it positively. Negatively, when one is devoid of compassion, one is selfish. And in that selfish spirit is a separatist. The interest of the Lord is separate from the interest of the individual. The interest of the individual is separate from the Lord. More so the second one. Separate interest. So I take up bhakti, but I've got my own agenda going. Not for the purpose of seeing to the Lord's interest. The opposite. Where there's compassion, It's very broad. The well-being of all living entities in the Uttama stage, that's how broadly that person is thinking. Samak sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim bhavate param. That's the verse, the Brahma Bhuta verse. One is interested in the welfare of all living entities. In just one last statement, then I'll end. A little sharing from Mayapur during our GBC meeting. One of the things that we had the opportunity to hear about was the ISKCON 50th celebration. So, Srila Prabhupada came to America, and in July of 1966, he formally incorporated ISKCON. So, 50 years later is 2016. So we're going to be honoring the 50th anniversary of ISKCON. And all over the world, devotees are making plans. You know, temples and individuals and countries and globally. It's a major event for us. And one of the persons who is inspired to do something for honoring ISKCON 50 is Yadubar. Yadubar is Prabhupada's disciple. His wife is Vishakha. She's probably spoken here several times. She likes Potomac Temple. And Yadubar has... one of his main services has been making films. He's a filmmaker. He made documentaries. Your Ever Well Wisher is one of them. Different, you know, his... this recent DVD series following Srila Prabhupada, I'm sure you've seen. So Yadubar is the filmmaker. So he's done several such documentaries. And he got inspired, rather than just for the devotee audience, he wants to do something for the public. So to do something for the public, you have to have a higher budget. Because they're used to things that are, you know, very polished in their presentation. Technology that's, you know, very subtle and sophisticated and costly. So he has embarked on such a project, which he's planning in 2016. It'll go into the public media, like, you know, television, not just Hare Krishna temples and homes. And they showed us, he showed us a trailer. And one of the outstanding things, besides the technology, is it's all right in their trailer. There's a series of images that are flashing on the screen of Prabhupada's doing things, and that there's this real deep resonating voice as a voiceover that says, from the very beginning, Srila Prabhupada wanted to embrace the whole world. We've got to have big arms to embrace the whole world. But that was his vision. You know, the opposite is the separatist, just interested in his own interest. You know, Krishna, help me get what I want. I want to harm somebody else or get back at somebody or something like that. So, separate interests, devoid of compassion, is the general characteristic of text number 8, and with different divisions. So compassion is just the opposite. He wants to embrace the whole world from the very beginning. And he, you know, his actions followed that intention. And because he had the order of his spiritual master and such pure devotion, his activities were uniquely empowered. Yeah. What Prabhupada did was amazing. Such a short time. He was empowered, clearly. Undeniably, uniquely empowered. And arising those actions were arising from this deep devotion filled with compassion on the order of his spiritual master and the previous acharyas, just wishing to fulfill according to whatever strength and ability and intelligence given to him, fulfill that desire. They're the desire of our acharyas. And then he left something for us to do. One time he said, I've given you all the frame, like the skeleton. Now you fill it out. That's our service. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness in so many different dimensions and details and glories. So, that's our ISKCON, the Hare Krishna movement, fulfilling the desires of our founder Acharya, very carefully keeping his instructions and having the striving for the proper intention behind fulfilling those instructions. Any comments or questions? 7:35. Yeah.
Is it required to know in the spectrum of 81 different
patterns? No.
No, I'm saying where I should be or where I am to make sure.
It's helpful. It's not necessary. It's helpful to have some idea. If we know where our attachments are, then, you know, the main attention should go to what is pure devotional service and strive for that. So that's there. That's where the primary attention should go. And it's helpful to know where our anchors are, where we are and what we're attached to. Now the process of devotional service itself is sufficient to uproot those attachments, but in devotion we can pay attention to where our attachments particular to the modes of nature are. Let's say, you know, this lowest of the low, so let's assume it's not anybody here. You know, you take up devotional service because you want to destroy somebody. Well, you know, it's helpful to know that. That's where I'm coming from. Or, I think I'm the greatest devotee, and I feel envy towards others who are actually greater than me. It's good to know that. The way that Srila Prabhupada instructed primarily was focusing on pure devotional service, more so than, you know, identifying, you know, it and paying inordinate attention to where my limitations are, where my weaknesses are. It's good to know what your limitations and weaknesses are. I find that the devotees from, you know, who go and get into that may commonly pay more attention to where their limitations and shortcomings are than the means to overcome them, and dwell in lamentation or whatever, you know, become disempowered. While feeling discouraged and whatever, all those things, in relation to devotional service, when the real intention should be devotional service. So Prabhupada placed most intention on devotional service and striving to chant with full absorption, because that can take care of everything, whatever the shortcoming and limitation is, whatever the motive nature is. You just shine bright light and darkness is gone. Yes.
Guru Maharaj, so the way you described how the devotional service begins on the liberated platform and...
Devotional service being?
Begins on the liberated platform.
Yeah.
And...
That's you. That's you. Not somebody else. It's every one of us. Devotion, bhakti, is connected to Krishna. And that which is connected to Krishna is on the transcendental platform. So we're unqualified, but we're engaged in devotional service. So devotional service begins from that transcendental platform. Devotional service. We're not yet liberated, but devotional service is. So is that clear?
Yes, Maharaj. So it's because of the mercy of the devotees only that's coming to me. Otherwise, you know, I'm not at all qualified to.
That's right. Well, it's mercy of the devotees and, you know, Bhakti Shakti or Srimati Radharani, who is the distributor of that. Mm-hmm. So all of those, the devotees and Bhakti Devi and Radharani, and they're very kind.
And then you also mentioned that, you know, knowing that the devotional service is pure and knowing my own position that I am not there in the pure platform, I should be ready for the purification.
We should feel ourselves very grateful for having the opportunity for devotional service and not take it for granted. Mm. Like children. They get something, they just take it for granted because they're children. They're not thinking as a mature person thinks. So we can also do like that. That's better to be mature. Or at least become mature. And recognize that the great fortune that's come to us, let us treasure it.
How can one understand that value, Maharaj?
Through association. Through association. Just like we're doing right now. Something else? Yes?
About the compassion. About the compassion.
Your voice can go louder. Good.
So, being, knowing some of them, then now I'm just trying to make up my mind. I know there's not some of them are stuck in, I also myself stuck in some of the areas.
Who's them? Devotees that you're in association with.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, is it the compassion that to let them know that where they are stuck? And
well, it can be any kind of compassion. It could be out of controlling. It could be out of other purposes, intentions behind. So, look at your intention and try to elevate your intention and proceed. Now, in the mood of service, in the mood of humble service, so we can express ourselves in different ways.
But sometimes if they are in a position that they can't take it, so I'm thinking, is it still just leaving them for their own space of growth? Is that also
That's an option. I exercise that option sometimes, often, in fact. Not instructing a person who it will harm them. Their motive nature will become aggravated by the instruction. Just not always say nothing, but sometimes say nothing. Even when the intention is to be in the proper mood of service. Yeah, so, to be in that position of guiding others or offering what you've heard from and understood from proper authorities, spiritual authorities, there's a discrimination of what to say and how to say it and what not to say. When
time can't wait for us.
Yes, that's right.
It's just
now. Yes.
And we don't know what the destination would be.
Yeah. This is one of the finer items of discrimination that the opportunity for this comes to those who are thoughtful, wishing to extend in compassion to others, and in what manner, at what time, and so forth. It's universal, not just exclusive. And yes, it's true, time passes. So, it's a discretionary matter. Some persons, and different persons may proceed in different ways because personalities are different. So what somebody else might do may not be what you would do. Doesn't mean, you know, either you're right and they're wrong or vice versa. It's just different. But yes, time is passing. And, you know, and another part of that, besides time is lost, if someone continues going on a path that's misdirected, they're going to be further off from the path. All these things have to be considered. You know, one's own capacity, the relationship between yourself and that other person, the level of trust that you feel that if you offer some compassionate advice, it's going to be taken in that way. Those are subtleties of discrimination. Here's an example. You could speak to the person with a question. There's something that I've noticed that seems to me will be beneficial if, you know, some attention was applied to the something. May I have your permission to share that with you? You know, you knock on the door and see if the door opens or not. Then even if they open the door and then you share in that, you know, soft, compassionate way, they, you know, they may show you the door and say, get out of here. How dare you? Or something. Or get defensive, or, you know, all kinds of things can happen. You know, so it doesn't mean don't do, because that might happen. It means that might happen. And most important in all of these things is, well, most important is that we're considering that Krishna should be, we want Krishna to be pleased. It's a little bit like Ananda Vrindavan's question during the Sunday program about good intention. Good intention isn't good enough. It has, you know, the other considerations along with good intention need to be there. But if someone understands that their reaction may not be, oh, thank you very much for bringing this to my attention, their reaction may be something else. But in the back of that person's mind or in their heart is this understanding, here's a person who really cares. I'm speaking this way because I care. And it's a wonderful feeling that somebody genuinely cares enough to go out of their way and, you know, share something that's light sensitive, maybe. It's just we have to see that the relationships are right and that our intention is right. It's subtle. One will understand it more through experience and through purification, both. And experience means some mistakes are going to be made. Not necessarily intention-wise, but execution-wise. Something else?
Yeah. Regarding the nature, particular nature that a person has, there is sometimes the tendency to cling on to that particular identity, mm-hmm. and it sort of becomes a habit and becomes difficult to let go.
Mm-hmm.
So, in such situations, what would be the as in on a personal level. It's not like about guiding others, like just introspectively, what are the steps a person can take to shift out of that situation?
Depends on the details. You know, a few things come to mind. One is association. You know, but if I'm accountable to someone who's guiding me, and I share that, whatever that is, this stuck position with the person who's guiding me, and not exactly ask them, you know, can you take care of this for me, but I want to be accountable to you, and I was thinking to take the following steps, or what steps might you think those are good steps, or what steps might you recommend, but I want to be accountable to you. So that's, you know, that's strengthening association and taking intelligence beyond one's own covered intelligence. So association in one word. And then another is, you've heard me say this before, but those things that do give me spiritual strength, pay special attention to those because they give me spiritual strength, and then draw from that spiritual strength to an area where there's some weakness. You know, consciously do like that. Somebody may like reading, somebody may like japa, somebody may like kirtan, somebody may like listening. Do those things that give strength, and then draw from that strength to something that, you know, that's weaker. Then a third is connected to the first one, but make a plan that's doable, a little step, because little step may be something that's doable, and the big step isn't going to happen because it's too big. So something that's doable, and then stay with it. You know, motive goodness. Stay with the plan of doing something that's going to help me move from this stuck position. And as soon as that commitment is made, and there's some steadiness in executing that commitment, you know, the energy, stuck energy, starts to move. Then things become more fluid, and then, you know, the relationship with Krishna becomes the support that can enable me to go the next step and next step and next step, instead of the modes of nature kind of crippling me, freezing me, bringing the Krishna factor in, dislodging the mode of nature factor. Anything else? Shrila Prabhupada ki
jai. Shrila Prabhupada ki jai.